This is a service that we offer to our members, and of course people can come in and join us as guests, which is really great. It's a professional development series, and it's something that we just think provides great value for our members and for our friends that are coming as guests, because we get to be able to sort of learn from experts in a pretty short, concise way. You can listen to these live, and thank you for those of you that are on this call live, which is great. That means you get to ask some questions during the call, which is really valuable. Or you can listen to these as a recording later. But regardless, the whole idea is that CAPS is providing for you a really valuable resource for growing your business, and with a lot of variety. So in the past, we have had interviews with certain best-selling authors like Guy Kawasaki and Michael Port and David Meerman Scott and Michael Lossier. We've also had some of our own members on the call, like Colleen Francis and Linda Edgecombe and Rhonda Victor. We've had David Wood on, Melanie Dodaro on LinkedIn, Rick Frischman, who runs the Author 101 Boot Camp every year in Vegas. So a lot of variety. Also, some of our sponsors are on. We are just posting today the recording that I just did a couple weeks ago with Turning Technologies, which of course is a company that provides those clickers that you see at some of the CAPS conferences, but also that some of our members are using really actively, which are allow your audience members to participate by giving you votes and reactions to the questions that you pose. So we have a number of sponsors that come on the 23rd of this month of October. I'll have Infusionsoft on, which of course is the granddaddy nowadays of the platform for people that are experts and want to grow their business. So that'll be coming up with an invitation for you. But today we have a very special guest, Mr. Les Klecky, who I'm going to introduce to you right now. Les is a pretty remarkable guy with a very specific focus, and that's to make us famous in our industry, by helping us to get that book or that next book out. So he's a book coach, he's a freelance writer, he's a speaker, he's coached people across the globe through the process of writing and publishing books, which of course is huge for any of us that have tried to write a book or think about writing a book or have actually finished it. We know how hard it is to get that monster finished. For the past 10 years, he's worked as a freelance writer. He's had his work published in numerous newspapers and magazines. He's also authored six of his own books, including On the Right Track, which is about traveling on the Trans-Siberian Railroad, Across the Grain, the 25-year history of the Canadian grain industry, and a matching book on Golden Plain about the U.S. grain industry. And his first book was called Riding the Bus with Chickens. So there's a whole story, I'm sure, in that. Les, welcome, and thanks for being on the call.
Pleasure to be here. It's always fun to talk about books.
Well, it is one of those things that, you know, it seems to me in a lot of conversations I have with experts, whether they're seminar leaders or coaches or speakers, is the conversation often gravitates towards books because it is one of the things that can really launch your career to a new level. There's no question about it. Books add credibility. But it's also one of the things that can be the most frustrating to finish. Les, what are some of the projects you're working on currently, just to give it a bit of context in terms of where you're at this year?
Finishing up a book on the U.S. grains industry, the one that you mentioned, that is going to the final proofing this weekend. And also this weekend, I'm going to Des Moines, Iowa, to meet with a farmer from Zimbabwe about his book on the political situation in that country.
Wow, that's right there must be a story. I'm going to Des Moines, Iowa to meet a farmer from Zimbabwe. And
He's the Zimbabwean representative to the Global Farmers Roundtable, which brings together 15 farmers from 15 countries for this discussion. And this is an opportunity for me to touch base with him and start on his book.
Fantastic. I spent a month in Zimbabwe once, whitewater kayaking with the crocodiles, which is another story. So here's one of the first things I want to start with, Les, because I want to give people a bit of context. You know, there's no question that, gosh, even really in the last 3 years, 4 years, the platform has changed. You know, we've got a lot more options than we ever had before. So we have ebooks, obviously, which can be as simple as a PDF, which we use as an opt-in gift on our website, or as a marketing incentive for our clients, or as a value-added bonus. So we can have ebooks, which we can, you know, create. We can create in our home office. We have the whole platform on Kindle, of course, Amazon Kindle, which I got on board as an author just very late in the game this January, which completely amazed me with the traction that I got on Kindle, which of course that leads me into, we've got CreateSpace, Lightning Source, self-publishing, and publishing. So can we? I would like to spend a couple of minutes, Les, just talk about each one of those options, if we could.
Sure, and they all fit. They all have their place, and depending on the market that you want to reach, certainly the e-books are, I think, reaches a younger generation. And there's the older folks like myself who still like the traditional idea of having a real book sitting down in an armchair. So it depends. The market that you want to reach is the determining factor in how you publish.
Yeah, it's a really good point. It's kind of hard to sell a PDF at the back of the room, you know, after giving a speech, or it's certainly not as impressive to email, you know, a PDF attachment to a prospective client as opposed to sending them a book in the mail. You know, there's still a big distinction that people make, I think, between those products.
I still, and the majority of my books are soft cover, but I still have a small run of the books published hardcover, full color mm-hmm. throughout, that I use as thank yous to the people that hire me. Because there is no better way to get into a person's office than, and what I do is I send them to the people that hire me as a thank you afterwards, saying, hey, you didn't have time to hear my presentation. I know you were busy at the conference. Please accept the printed copy. And, you know, they end up staying in people's office, and when somebody calls and asks to recommend a speaker, well, your book is lying there.
Nice. One thing I want to talk about, before we get into the whole Kindle world and this sort of stuff, I want to talk about ebooks, because I constantly hear this from people that I admire and that I am learning from on podcasts or when I see them live, and that is that we should never, even though something is an ebook, so in other words, even though it's a PDF or it's available in some other fashion on Google Docs or whatever you want to use, the reality is it has to be of high quality. And I think sometimes we think that, well, because it's an ebook, you know, it's okay if I just kind of wing it myself. But I want to come full circle in this conversation with you, Les, because my argument is going to be it doesn't really matter what format it's in. You should always be considering getting a professional involved to help you to create that product, especially if it's something like an opt-in gift that might be sitting there for a couple of years on your website as the first example of your product. Like, in other words, it's the first example of your quality. What are your thoughts about that in terms of what you see people doing?
Exactly. I couldn't agree with you more. You have one chance to make that first impression, so let's do it properly. When you're going to a speaking engagement, you wear your best. You don't stop at Value Village to buy the clothes that you're going to use on stage. So why would you prepare your book in that manner and make it kind of a slipshod, half-hearted effort? You have mm-hmm. one chance to polish it. Pierre Burton, who I think was a pretty good author and fairly successful in this business, counted on spending one-third of his budget with proofreaders and editors.
Wow.
And if that was a good rule for Pierre Burton, it's good enough for me. I think you should have a professional editor.
Well, you know, he probably needed to spend one-third because his books were so darn long. Here's an example. I interviewed last year for this series David Meerman Scott, who a lot of people might know by his best-selling book, which is The New Rules of PR and Marketing. And if you go online to David Meerman Scott, and he explained, by the way, in that call, the reason he always uses Meerman is because there's too many David Scotts out there. But David Meerman Scott, and look at the quality of his ebooks that are free. It's amazing, not only in terms of how well they are written, and clearly he has professional help, but the design. is remarkable, and it's a great example of first impressions. And he has told me that some of those free ebooks have been downloaded over 200,000 times. And when my question to him was, first of all, why are you giving these away for free? And secondly, why do you put so much darn work into them? Because they are beautiful. Like, when you open them up and right away, just the basic layout is so distinctive. And he says, well, look, if I'm going to have something downloaded 200,000 times, don't you think I want it to be excellent? So ebooks, I think, really have an amazing value for us as writers. We can create them all the time. They are wonderful as opt-in gifts or giveaways or bonus offers. But I do think that, you know, sometimes we undervalue them and we don't just invest a little bit of effort and money to bring experts in.
I don't think that you can cut back on the budget on any one part of it, be it an ebook, be it self-published, or be it going through a traditional publisher. Getting it to that point requires the same amount of work, the same amount of polishing, and then it's just a choice of which one you choose to reach the market that you want. But writing the book, editing the book, designing the book, it doesn't matter whether it's a hard copy or whether it's an ebook. It still requires the same amount of effort, and it's the thing that's going to be out there representing you.
Nice. By the way, I want to remind folks, if you didn't hear it earlier before I started the call, but you can text questions to myself or Les at any time. Just go to your control panel at GoToWebinar, and you can type a question in where it says questions, or you can use the chat line, and then I'll keep my eye on that, and I will ignore them as quickly as I can. No, I'm just kidding. I'll keep my eye on them. I'll look at them. Now, the next thing I want to talk about is this crazy thing. Before we get into, you know, CreateSpace, etc., this crazy thing called Kindle. Now, I was under a very important misconception, or popular misconception, and that is that Kindle, which of course is owned by Amazon of course being the world's biggest bookseller, who has, you know, 300 million credit cards on file, Amazon, where you can buy a book with literally one click, like literally one click and that book is delivered to you, which is very powerful as a selling tool. Amazon owns this thing called Kindle, and my misconception was that you had to have a Kindle tablet in order to read Kindles, which of course is completely wrong. And what I discovered was, which everybody should look at, by the way, and everybody on this call or listening to this as a recording should go out there and do this today. You should get the Kindle Reader, because it is becoming one of the hugely popular platforms for reading books. So it's a free download. It goes on Androids, any kind of smartphone. You know, your BlackBerry, your Android, your iPhone. You can download it onto your desktop, your laptop. Anytime you get a Kindle book, it automatically goes to all of those devices. So I don't care if I'm sitting on an airplane or I've got my laptop open at my office, that same book is available to me on all those devices, and it remembers where I left off when I was reading the book. I can highlight parts. I can search within the book. It remembers where I was. Like, it's amazing. And my point is that as authors, we should also be thinking about using Kindle. So either as a copy of your book, in other words, I took my book, give me a break, and I simply converted the file to a .mobi file, and all the instructions are available on Kindle, which is at kdp.amazon.com, KDP for Kindle Direct Publishing. But my point is that once I uploaded it, suddenly I was on a completely different platform. It's a whole different world where people are looking for inexpensive, very mobile versions of our writing, and it takes very little effort. There's many, many people out there that are happy to convert your book over. It takes very little effort to convert your book over, and now you're on a whole new platform. And you know, we can go into a little bit of detail here, but basically the other thing you need to look at is the Kindle Select program. And the Kindle Select program allows you to have a lot more control, a much higher commission rate, up to 70% on your book, and a lot more control over free day campaigns and this sort of stuff. So Les, are you seeing authors using the Kindle platform? What's your experience?
Absolutely. And at this point, most of the people that I work with put it out in every format. As I said earlier, I'm still a big advocate of having some special hardcover ones done for special people, and they want the soft cover that they can sell at the back of the room or that they can use for promotional purposes, and they want the ebook. Once you've got the finished manuscript, finished file, you can turn it into whichever you want. Now, the advantage of an ebook is that you can do it more quickly. Traditional printing probably takes you about 3 weeks, whereas you can have that ebook up on a site tomorrow morning.
That's right. That's right. Kindle is essentially, basically overnight. And one of the things that I do all three platforms. So I have my hardcover, my book I carry around with me and I mail out and I sell back of room. I have my book on Amazon and the traditional paperback book, and then I have my book on Kindle. But just for the people on this call, I really encourage you to get the Kindle reader if you haven't done that already and go and download some books. There's lots of free Kindle books every day, like in the order of hundreds of thousands of them. And just to get familiar with that platform if you are not familiar with it already, because you should be thinking about that as an option for how to market your books. It gives you exposure to an entirely different market, and that is the people that simply read books on Kindle. Here's another neat thing that I learned, which is pretty cool. As the author, you can log in anytime you want, and you can actually see what people have been highlighting on your book. So that's a great use of technology. So I can actually see the most highlighted passages of my book, which gives me amazing feedback in terms of what people found popular. So there's lots of benefits. So let's talk about the other big way to publish nowadays, which is pretty new, which is CreateSpace and Lightning Source. So just so people understand, so CreateSpace, which is owned by Amazon, and Lightning Source, which is owned by Ingram's, are two ways that you can be listed on Amazon. And it's an instant printing process where basically they print one perfect copy of your soft cover book. It has to be soft cover book, and they mail it to the client. So you post your book on Amazon using either CreateSpace or Lightning Source, and you set up an account, you upload your file, and it looks exactly like a book. It's printed exactly, it is a book, it's printed, and it's sent, but there's absolutely no inventory. So as authors who are getting started as authors, it's a great way, certainly what I did, it's a great way to be in the American market, in fact the international market, without having to have any inventory and all the related costs that come with that. So in Canada, I have my books distributed normally, and for the rest of the world, they are done through, in my case, I use Lightning Source. So what about that, Les? What are you seeing authors doing there?
Again, it depends on the market that they're trying to reach, and that's the key. And to me, that's the first part of writing a book. And when I'm working with someone as a coach, the first thing that I do is sit down and ask them who they're writing for. Not only does that determine the format that they're going to market in, but the style that the book will be written in. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so important to determine your market at the beginning of the process.
Mm-hmm. Right. And Bob Huey is just asking here, he's just asking about whether many authors do a Kindle version only or both. Are you seeing that it's both less, or what's been your experience? Like any both being printed, right?
Both being printed, and most of the people that I work with still choose to do both. They have an ebook, and they have the printed copy. There's something, especially for first-time authors, it's a big thrill to pick up that printed book. We still like that a lot, and it's a part of the idea of writing the book, is when you go to pick them up from the printer and when you can present it to someone. It's not quite the same thing sending them a PDF.
Here's something
you,
that
you don't get to sign very many e-books. And I probably Over the years, I probably sign about 80% of all of my books. People still like that, and when you can personalize it, that's just a big touch. I don't sell at the back of the room at speaking engagements. I try to get the organizers to buy a book for everyone, and then at an event, I just personalize the book for people, and you have much greater chance to interact with the audience and find out if they have another audience that should hear your message. So
right.
I have moved away from selling at the back of the room entirely to signing books, and that's something that you can only do with a traditional printed book.
Yeah, it's very true. One of the other things that I do quite often, Les, and this is true for anyone listening that it has any kind of a product, is I use it as a part of my negotiations. And so the way it works is that, you know, basically if the client doesn't have the fees that I'm looking for my speaking engagement, I can negotiate by with a book. So for example, I could say, well, how about if I include a book for everybody? Would that be valuable? And that's a very simple way of doing it. The client says, well, that's amazing. What's that worth? And, of course, I quote the retail value of the book, which in my case is $22.95. So pretty quickly, you know, you can be into thousands of dollars that I'm willing to give them, which they see as a huge benefit to their delegates. I've done as many as 300 books that way. And then I will either ask them for a portion of that cost, or I will I may decide to completely gift them that in return for them holding my fee. So when you start playing with the difference between your real cost of printing a book and the retail printed cost of the book, you have a lot of negotiation that you can play with in terms of either upselling the your speaking fee by offering to perhaps, you know, include a book for everybody at half price or 80%, or including a book for free to hold your fee, or however you want to play with it. But products provide you with an opportunity for your revenue stream that you can't get with either an ebook, to your point, Les, or if you don't have any kind of products at all, physical products, that is.
I go the other way. I negotiate my my speaking fee, and once we have concluded that negotiation, I say, how's about if I include a book for everyone in the audience at half price, you know, and they're typically $20, so then I offer them a book at $10, and I will help them find a sponsor for those books. And sponsors love that idea because they get the appearance of giving a $20 gift. They can put a business card in it, and then they have a $20 gift in the convention kit that cost them $10.
Okay. Wow. Okay. That's much more sophisticated. Okay, we've talked about ebooks, we've talked about Kindle, we've talked about CreateSpace and Lightning Source, and again, each one of these options has its own wrinkles and complications. So if you're listening to this and this is all completely foreign to you, just do the basics. Go online and get a Kindle reader onto your smartphone or your computer or whatever. Download a bunch of Kindle books, just go get some free books and see how it works so you become familiar with it. If you and then go online to Amazon and read what's required. If you're not familiar with CreateSpace or Lightning Source, go to those sites and just simply read how they work. There is tons of information out there from authors as well, which who are sharing their experience, the pros and cons, the little tricks, and it's going to really help you to start to decide, is that a route I want to go? Les, the next thing, of course, is self-published or publisher. So what's the latest on that? How do you, or maybe I should ask you, how do you help authors to make a decision on what route they go as far as self-publishing or going to the publisher?
My role and what I try to do is help people get the manuscript done. I'm a book coach. I'm not a marketing guy. I'll give them both options and explain both options as best I can. They have to decide what's right for their business model and what they can afford to do, what works for their cash flow. Obviously, if you go with a traditional publisher, you give up some of the control of the project, though you do get a much wider distribution. If you self-publish, you have the books yourself, and you have a much greater portion of the final price, but your distribution is in a much smaller circle. I work with a lot of speakers who, while it's a dream and certainly a goal to get the next bazillion seller out there in bookstores, that's not realistic, and you can't count on that in the budget. So let's count on something that works with back of the room sales, or with selling in your circle of friends, or with ebooks, and let's try to work in a budget that way. If you do get the million seller, well, that's gravy. That's a bonus. But don't count on that in the budget.
Yeah, and I think picking up on that, you know, one option is to, what I want to say is that, you know, if you do self-published, if you self-publish your book, which I did, and it's worked out very well for me, it took me 90 days to completely pay down, basically to cover all the cost on my book. So it took, I don't know, 5 months to produce the book, and in 90 days it was completely paid off. However, you know, it's not, being a self-published author does not exclude the fact that you may later create some kind of a deal with a publisher. So one does not sort of exclude the other option.
Not at all.
What I was interested in was I wanted to get it done fast, I wanted to get it in the market, and I knew as a speaker I had a automatic way to sell books. Through my mailing list, which, you know, I've been building up over 15 years, and as a speaker. But I think that one doesn't exclude the other, so I think that, you know,
right. Now, you said that it took you 90 days to pay down the book, but it took you 5 months to write it.
What I
tell people is that you should have a book done, or you can have a book done in 90 days. You should be able to write it in 30, have it edited in 30, and print it in the final 30. So
wow.
A lot of times, from start to go, start to finish, it's 90 days, and that's very doable. Sammy Jo Small, who I worked with her last summer, and many people will recognize her from the Canadian women's hockey team, she wrote her book in 30 days. I'm working with a lady in Calgary right now, a nurse who started on the 1st of October and is going to hold back her book till January 1st so that it can be released with a 2014 publishing date. But she will be done before the new year, so that's October, November, December.
Well, that's amazing. That's amazing. We've got a question on the line from a couple of questions while we go. And then after these questions, I want to move towards the mistakes that people make and how to start with the end in mind. So one question coming in from Haig, Baronikane, and he says, I like these suggestions on distributing books. In my case, I've done a textbook. Would you have any suggestions for distributing into the U.S. to universities and colleges without a publisher, preferably? Thanks. So how about textbook distribution? Thoughts on that, Les?
If you contact me afterwards, I'll give you the name of an academic publisher that I work with that can help you out in that regard. They're in Nova Scotia, and they're in, specifically an academic publisher.
Nice. Okay. And of course, we'll get all your contact information at the end. Okay. And so Brent Purnell is asking a question that I think we're going to answer in a few minutes, which is, tell me more about the 30-day writing process. And then Mona Walrond is asking, how does this ghostwriting process work? Okay, this is awesome. We've got to get going. So,
okay.
Les, let us tell me
about
starting.
Let's answer the last question first about
okay.
the ghostwriting process.
Okay, sure. Okay.
And the difference between ghostwriting and coaching.
Okay, good.
Okay, ghostwriting is writing the book for you. Having someone write the book completely for you. If you're too busy, or if you just don't feel that you're a writer, or it's just not your interest, have someone write it for you. And the ghostwriting should be in much the same time frame. And I can only speak about the process that I use. I use a 1-hour interview to develop a chapter, and then I write that chapter for the client, and they read it to make sure that it's in their tone, in their words. A properly ghostwritten book should be able to fool even your mom as to who wrote it. Whereas the coaching process, we go through a somewhat different interview process, and then give the client the recording of the interview and a outline as to what should be included in the chapter, so that most of my clients then write their own chapter in about 2 hours. So they should be able to write, and I typically, no, not typically, I call a chapter 2,000 words. A book in my mind is 50,000 words. That's 192 pages. So that's 25 chapters of 2,000 words each. So 25 chapters, if you write one a day, you're done in a month. And that's, you know, that gives you a little bit of slippage on the weekend. So that's how you can get your book written in 30 days.
That's a great formula. That's a really cool formula. That's a great framework, I think, isn't it, for people to say, okay, this is kind of my end, this is what I need to work towards.
Yeah, and what we do is break it down from the final product. So you know that you want a 200 word book, which is 50,000 words. That's 25 chapters. So now you have to write the 25 chapters of 2,000 words. 2,000 words is still a large block to sit down and write if you don't have some structure. So let's break that down further into four component parts of 500 words each. Now you can write it. And those four parts are the introduction, the story, the reason that you included this incident in the book, and the impact. What did this incident, how did it impact you, or what do you want the reader to take away from? So when we write those four parts, we've got a chapter done, and we start with another one tomorrow. So most people, after we've gone through the process of setting up the a grid with these parts in it, can write a chapter in about 2 hours, and most people who really want to write a book can find 2 hours a day to sit down and write.
But, I just have to stop there. Sorry for the interruption, everybody. I'm so glad somehow Anthony Nijme in our office figured out how to get you all back on the call, but I was just laughing less because we got cut off there, and then you came back on and said, well, here's all you have to do, and it was sort of like, you know, someone saying, so you got to write a book, blank, oh, well, here's all, you know, that, there you go, you've written a book. Meanwhile, yeah. We missed the middle part, which is, yeah. Oh, how do we do it? Well, thanks, Anthony. Okay, so Les, we've got intro story, reason to include that part in the book, right? Yeah. Impact. 25 chapters makes a 192-page book, which is 50,000 words broken into 2,000-word chapters. I love that. That's brilliant. Let's take a step back. What do most authors do if they don't have you guiding them along? Like, what are the mistakes that we typically – I mean, I can guess because I know I've done them, but what do you see people doing wrong to get started?
Don't have the structure, don't know when they're done, and write too long. One of the ladies that I worked with from New Zealand called me and said, okay, I'm ready to start on my book. I've started with the introduction. I said, oh, really? How long is it? 8,000 words. I said, well, that's a little long. She said, well, I didn't know how long to write, so I just wrote and wrote on the introduction. And that's typical of so many people. The issue is deciding what's worth being in the book. We all have way more information than we can possibly fit in one book. So it's a matter of deciding what should be in the book. And to do that, the first thing that we've got to decide is who are we writing for? And I typically ask a client to describe who are they writing for, down to their education and their family situation, and give them a name so that when we're writing this book, I can say, how does that affect Stanley? Why is that important for Stanley? If you can't explain that immediately, if you can't explain that in two sentences, then that material should not be in the book. Mm-hmm. And that's how we can sort it out quickly.
So now, so important. And do you use the expression avatar? I mean, I hear a lot of people. That's certainly when we're creating any kind of content, we talk about who's our avatar.
I use the expression Stanley. I want the person to come up with a name so that that's the question, and it can be that personal.
Huh.
You know, Walmart does it, apparently, and I haven't been there, but in the head office in Bentonville, Arkansas, there is a life-size cutout of Cindy. Cindy is the typical Walmart customer. She's just a little bit overweight. She's got dyed blonde hair. She wears sweatpants with elastic at the bottom. She's got three kids. She drives a dented Chrysler minivan with the dent in the rear quarter panel. If that is the process that the world's largest retailer uses, if that works for the largest employer in the United States of America, it's good enough for us. So let's define our audience. And then we go through and we ask, how is that going to help Stanley? How is that going to help Cindy? And you can get used to asking that question yourself, and you decide what material should be included in the book. The biggest single problem for new authors is not knowing what should be included in the book and trying to overwrite.
And also, you know, and by the way, I heard that James Cameron was actually thinking about creating a movie called Stanley before he, you know, came up with Avatar. Stanley and Cindy, but it just didn't sell, so he had to come up with Avatar. But don't you think also that there's a lot of wandering that happens because they haven't done that process? So, you know, they're 25,000 words into it, and the book just doesn't make any sense. Like, it doesn't have... You know, you refer to the end in mind, right? They haven't started with an end in mind, and so they're off on these little tangents and stories, and you must see that a lot, where
a lot.
There's no flow to it, right?
And that's what having consistent chapters with the four component parts, that makes more flow throughout the book. This way, even though you cover different topics, you've still got something that's consistent with each chapter. Now, once we've decided who we're writing for, I suggest that people sit down and make a list of 25 items. 25 items. This is going to become your table of contents. These are the chapters. Now, when you're making this list, they only need to be a phrase. You don't need to write out a huge explanation. It might be a phrase that describes your signature story. But just so that you know what the concept that you want to include. You make that list of 25, and I can assure you that when you sit down and make that first list of 25, 18 of them will be right. They will stay with you through the process of the book. Some of them will drop off, some will merge into one, some will divide and become two. But by and large, if you spend 20 minutes listing 25 items that have to be included in your book, you're going to have that list. You've already made the table of contents for your book. Now you split it out into the four component parts, and away you go. And what I...
And Les, yeah.
Well, what
I was just going to ask, like, as a... Yeah, go ahead, Les. Go ahead.
What I give my clients is a grid that has the list of 25 down one side, and... the four component parts so that you can sit down and make the notes in there, because you can only include two or three points in each section, because otherwise you're overwriting again. So now you fill in that grid, and then it's very easy when you sit down to write.
Tell me about time limits, because as a coach you must... I mean, clearly you can't do your job if the author doesn't deliver. So do you, how do you get the author to not overwork it? Like, how do you get them, because everybody can learn from this advice, how do you help us to, you know, like I think you said earlier, a couple of hours we should be spending on an author. How do you help us to do that?
In the coaching sessions, typically what I do in a coaching session is we spend the first half hour going over the previous chapter that you had written. You send that to me so that I can read it and I'm prepared, and we go over it. I ask you, how did the writing go? What worked for you? What didn't? And then we spend the second half hour where I am interviewing you about the concepts that should be included. And then I send you an outline that has the topics broken down to 100, 150 words, and you can just write to that so that you're not overwriting. You know that you have 150 words to describe this situation. You have 150 words to tell us the real story of what happened so that you're staying within that framework of 500 words per component part, and you're staying within 2,000 words for your chapter. Nice. Now, there's got to be some flexibility. It's not cast in stone every single time. But if you have a target, at least you can come close.
Nice. Now, Brent Purnell is asking for the grid again. Which part are you calling the grid, Les? Is that the
grid? The grid is a chart that has the ISRI across the top of it and your list of 25 down the side. One of my earliest clients made it up. She had a bit of an engineering background, and so she made it up. And it's like a spreadsheet, right? And so it expands as you put the points in it. But so you go on the left-hand side, you just make your list of 25 items. Those are going to be your chapters. Now, as you go across the page, you got the four component parts.
Yeah. And the neat thing with the grid, what I like about that, and I when I coach speakers on their speech writing, is that the reader or the listener for speech, they're very unlikely to notice a pattern. They're not going to be reading your book and think, wow, I see a template here. But what happens is it helps you to get the book written in a logical fashion, but also efficiently. In other words, if you repeat that same four steps, like intro, story, reason, impact, you repeat them every chapter, the reader's not going to know you're repeating them, but it sure makes your job easier.
It makes it consistent, and you're absolutely right. The reader isn't aware of what you've done, so the reader doesn't say, aha, they're making the transition from the story to the reason. I mean,
we should be at the reason now.
That's our little secret. We don't tell them.
One of the mistakes that I made when I was working on my book was hiring the wrong types of editors. So can you tell us what's a content editor? What is a copy editor? Because I know that after four editors and everybody telling me I had the wrong hyphen or M dash or semicolon, my book was no better. So what's the difference and who should I hire?
Content editor is exactly that. They edit for content and they notice if you have told the same story twice, they move it around to make it better order and easier read. A copy editor is just a proofreader. They change your M and N dashes. They know which one fits according to the style guide. They know when it should be a colon and when it should be a semicolon. But they do not change the content or the style of writing. So because I write somewhat rough and I send it to my editor in a fairly rough format, I work very closely with a content editor. Someone who doesn't want their work adjusted as much might choose not to do that. You got to find out what's right for you. I recommend trying two or three editors to see which one keeps the style, the verbiage that you like the best. So what I recommend to all of my clients is once you're close to done, choose a typical chapter, send the same chapter to two or three different editors, and see which one you like the best. if you're edit, if the editor will refuse to do a chapter for you on that basis, then you have already decided that that is not the right editor for this project.
Okay. Wow. Okay, good advice. And I know it varies widely, you know, as far as what you would pay, but can you give us a general sense of what can we expect to pay for a content editor versus a copy editor?
I pay $3,000. But as I say, my copy is rough. Sometimes my editor asks me if I typed with my mittens on.
Oh, now, so $3,000 for your content editor.
Yep.
For content editor for a 50,000 word book.
Yep. Right. Everything I do, everything I do is based on that 50,000 word model. And I mean, whether it varies by 1,000 words or so, it's not going to matter a great deal on the price. But that's that's roughly where I am. Now, if you write, if your writing is more polished, then you can bring that price down. But that's typically where I am. I say count on $2,500.
And an editor, a copy editor?
She includes the copy editor. She includes the copy editor. She actually has someone that she farms out and pays for out of that.
I see. Okay. All right. So it's all one price. All right.
Yeah.
So that's a very important distinction. And what about, you know, like in the past, and currently we use Odesk a lot. In fact, we use Odesk now more than Elance. For people that are listening aren't familiar with that, those are the two probably biggest in the world outsourcing platforms right now. So Odesk, just the letter O, Desk.com, and Elance, Elance.com, are where you would post a job. And as Les suggested, you could even post a invitation to edit a chapter, and then you get all these people applying for your job, and then you decide which one you want to work with, and you can also, of course, instant message them as you get closer to narrowing it down. Mm-hmm. Would you recommend that, Les, or do you have a different approach for finding that kind of talent?
That certainly works, and if you're comfortable with that, the only recommendation that I have is don't chintz on the editor. If there's one place where you do not want to cut corners, it is the editor. And everyone has a friend who took an English course at one time or who offers to do your book for free. Well, they're well-meaning, but they're not editors. If they offered to fix your car, would you take it there? No. Why take your book to somebody who, just because they took an English course one time, feels they're qualified to be your editor? You need a professional.
It's great. It is absolutely great advice. And, you know, here's the thing. You write a book, that book is going to have legs for the next decade. And so if you think about the actual investment you're going to make, whether it's for, you know, a complete ghostwriter or a writing coach or any one of these other services, to me it's kind of a no-brainer by the time you either divide it out by the actual number of books that you're going to have printed and sold, or the life that that's going to give you. So I totally agree with you. We got a couple of minutes left, and I just want to give people kind of a sense. And I know, again, it varies so much in terms of how you want to go about this. But in terms of the cost of the overall project, can you give me some ballparks? If I was calling you up, and I'm a member of CAPS, and so we get that special CAPS rate, of course, you'd say, okay, Hugh, this is what you're sort of looking at for a 50,000 word book. Why don't you go ahead, Les? Tell me how that breaks down.
The coaching to go, and that's where we start with. The coaching is $150 a chapter. So on the 25 chapters, that's 37. The editing is 25.
Okay.
The typesetting, and that's the design of the book and the typesetting, including the cover, is another 24.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you have it as an e-book, your cost is next to nothing. But if you have about 1,500 books printed, then they're about $3 a book for a soft cover in that range. I mean, they get cheaper if you get 4,000 or 5,000 done. So total project, I tell people to plan on $10,000,
mm-hmm.
and have then they have roughly 2,000 books done.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So anywhere from between $5 to $6 a book.
Mm-hmm.
For just a very short run of 1,500 books. That's great.
Yep.
It's good. I know that here's the thing that I also, you know, I wish we had more time to talk about this, because I really actually hate it when people say that you're not going to make any money on your book. I actually think you should be thinking about this as a profit center. Certainly, it's going to increase your credibility, which means you can get more business and charge more, but also I think you should be able to make money on a book, and even at $5 or $6 a book. Even though you're going to give some away,
you're going to give away 20% of your books. Count on giving away 20% of your books. That is the industry standard.
Yeah,
count on that
as you're
advertising.
Great. So you give away so that's 300 books out of 1,500, and you got 1,200 books left to make some money on, and you should come away with a nice profit after doing that work.
I tripled my speaking fee when I printed my first book.
Wow.
I was telling travel stories at the time. I had just come back from Europe and the Nuffield Scholarship, and people asked, "Have you got a book?" Because I was telling these great travel stories, and I said no. So I wrote a book called "Riding the Bus with the Chickens," and I tripled my speaking fee.
You know, and Bob Huey just chimed in again. He says, your book can be a nice little profit center. It can also generate profit in other areas, too. It's so true. And I really, you know, I'm always tempted whenever people say, oh, it's just an expensive business card. I'm tempted just to say, well, that's just because you're not doing it right. Because I think if you go into this process, which is going to be a lot of work, and listen, of course, I hope everybody on the call gets this, that even if you have a ghostwriter or a writing coach, as Les is, you still need to do the work. Like, you still need to grind this stuff out, and you should be getting rewarded for that, and you should be not only able to attract more business, which is awesome, you should be able to charge more, and you should be able to get this extra revenue source down the road. And the other thing, too, of course, I think if you prepare properly and do this right, you should be able to have your books online, whether it's on Barnes & Noble or it's on Smashwords or it's on Amazon, but you should be able to have a check coming in. In fact, I just have my check came in from Lightning Source this morning before we got on the call, and I love getting that check in the mail every day or every month for really having done no extra work. Like, it just sits there on Amazon and earns me money every month, which I think is pretty amazing. Les, you have offered us a ton of information. First of all, how do people get a hold of you, and then how should they get started in terms of working with you?
Well, the first thing is that I'd like to, and I apologize for the technical difficulty here, I'd like to offer everybody who is on the call a one-hour coaching session absolutely free. To make up for the trouble that we've had, and I'd like to work with you to develop your storyline for the book or your first chapter, whatever you want to do in that hour. 1 hour free just for contacting me, and I'll send you a copy of my book, No Winner Ever Got There Without a Coach, that explains the ISRI process. So if you send me an email or go to my website, presto poofo, I will send you a copy of the book, and we'll book a date for your 1 hour session. You can get a hold of me. My website is globalghostwriter.com, or if you Google Les Kletke, LESKLETKE, or if you just send me an email at lkletke@mymts.net, lkletke@mymts.net. And the other thing on that website and in the email, Bob Huey and I are working on some ideas together that we're going to be able to give you some a break on Bob's writing seminar and maybe on some books and that, so there's going to be some extra deals coming out there. But for right now, you send me an email. You've got a coaching session where we can at least discuss the process and talk about what we could do to make your book a reality.
Okay, I just got to let you, first of all, thank you, Les. That's incredibly generous. And you've already got a couple of people that are texting in and going, wow, cool, woo woo. So that hit home. And so again,
woo-hoo is one of my favorites. That's the ultimate for a client to say woo-hoo. I love it.
Send that to the copy editor. So globalghostwriter.com, and they should be able to find you on there and text
and
you.
And if you go into the contact part, you can send me an email from there.
Okay, and if they can't find that, then really they need to go and take a different course, probably.
Just go to lklecky at mymts.net. Yeah,
if they can't get it from a website, then I think there's something else that is needed. Okay, this is awesome. So Les Klecky from Global Ghostwriter, again, thank you very much for being a part of this program for our CAPS members and for our visitors. Thank you, Les.
A pleasure.
And thank you to Anthony Nijme, who is in our CAPS office, who tirelessly makes sure that this stuff works. Again, apologies to everybody. I don't know what happened in the middle. Of course, my first thought was I hit the wrong button, but I realized actually I wasn't touching anything. So, but thanks, Anthony, for rescuing us. October the 23rd, we have scheduled for Infusionsoft. I want you to know that this is not a plug just for Infusionsoft. If you've ever seen their presentations before, they are a leader globally in terms of their platform, which is for people like us. And also what they do when they present is they actually explain sales funnels. And so this is much more than about Infusionsoft. You'll want to be on this call on the 23rd of October. Because they really share with you some amazing insights. And I'm a member. I use Infusionsoft, and we've been using it now for 2 years. It is an amazing tool. And they walk their talk as far as really studying how people profit from using their tool. So I really encourage you to be on that on October 23rd. Remember, you can always go to CanadianSpeakers.org, log in. First of all, what you do is you go to the members button top right, then you log in, and right away you'll see business seminars, and that's where you get the recordings. So please go and enjoy those. Thanks again, Les Klecky. Thanks everybody for being on the call. Have a great day, and don't forget to register for GSS Summit 8, 9, 10 in December in Vancouver. See you there. Thanks everyone.